Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text number 14. Sadatam kirtiyantomam yatantas chadridavrataha namasyantas jamam bhaktya nityukta upasate sadatam. Always, kirtiyanta, chanting, mam, about me, yatanta, fully endeavoring, cha, also, dridavrata, with determination, namasyanta, offering obeisances, cha, and, mam, me, bhaktya, in devotion, nityukta, perpetually engaged, upasate, worship. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport, the Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising His real name, His eternal form, His transcendental qualities, and His uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these, therefore a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in different ways in the next verse. Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service. As described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and Smaranam, remembering Him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages in all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadasi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the Lord, by the great acharyas, for those who are actually interested in getting a mission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatma's great souls strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, in any position, either as a householder, or a sannyasi, or brahmachari, in any position, anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus actually become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Satatam kirtiyantam am yatantas chadridavataha namasyantas jamam bhaktya nityukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Devotional service is actually quite easy, but as Prabhupada said, it's simple for the simple and very complicated for the crooked. unfortunately, we've been trained up quite nicely to become crooked. And therefore, it becomes very complicated. In other words, if we purely followed the process, it would be extremely simple. But because we don't purely follow, therefore it becomes more complicated than it actually is. Material nature means to make things that are complicated. And as explained here, Krishna consciousness means that if we're actually Krishna conscious, then we wouldn't be involved in material nature. But because we're not in Krishna conscious, therefore we're attracted to the material nature. So how to get out of our attraction for the material nature? Well, that's why we have sadhana bhakti. Now, one problem is that sometimes when we read Bhagavad Gita, we automatically assume what's being talked about is us, that we're the great souls. And that we always have our minds fixed on Krishna. But actually, this is talking about the ideal, and we may be somewhat less than the ideal. Therefore, we shouldn't just... I was talking today in a conference call on Guru Services Subcommittee about educating the gurus, and one devotee remarked that in all the Prabhupada's books, it's always talking about the spiritual master, and therefore, how can we not emphasize that even above the administration? Unfortunately, the spiritual master is talked about in Prabhupada's books, but that doesn't mean that everyone who is simply giving initiation is automatically has all the qualities that are described. That would be very nice. We just make everyone a guru and we have a perfect movement. But actually, if one has all the qualities, then he's actually a guru. And if one is taking the position, then one will be benefited by such association as much as one has the qualities. The position is not in itself has any real potency behind it. The potency is exactly what it says here, associating with Krishna, especially his holy name. Why? Because Krishna and his name are non-different. Now, we don't necessarily understand that fully. Hopefully we understand it to some extent, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. But when we actually chant Hare Krishna, we'd actually be with Krishna. Then actually we'd meet Krishna directly. So we're chanting Hare Krishna, but many times we're thinking we're chanting the letters of the alphabet. K-R-S-I, whatever you want to spell it. But actually, that's not Krishna. Krishna is actually Krishna. And when we chant Hare Krishna, like a child calling for his mother. But then again, that doesn't really, even in itself. In other words, as much as we get a taste for Krishna consciousness, then to that extent, we'll be in Krishna consciousness. And when we're in Krishna consciousness, then we'll understand what Krishna consciousness is all about. Otherwise, if we're not in Krishna consciousness, we can't understand. Even when we speak, we can only understand what the other person is saying as much as it relates to my own personal experience. If someone's whatever words we use, like if I say red, if we understand English, then we'd remember something red. I don't know, probably in Slovenian, it's probably like something like Russian or Polish, Krasny. Krasnya. Yeah. What's that? Tardacha. Oh, you have different colors here. What about Sini? Sini Bili? Bili must be the same. Bili? White, yeah. Yeah, Bili, yeah. Some of the other. Sini is blue in Russian. And here? What is it? Modra, but that's like in Croatia. Sinja, kind of a blue. You have red, cross. Siniska. And Silnia, and Krasnia. Jolti. Jolti? Was it? Yeah. Yeah, yellow, yeah. And then there's it's black. Charna, that's the same. Billion, but black and white are usually the same. Anyhow, we say those things, and we're just reminding us, we're actually remember some form. We remember white or black. But we say Krishna, we don't, many times we don't remember anything. As I often said, they used to have in America, it's probably all over the world, it's probably, we know, Prabhupada was saying one lecture I heard today that Krishna is so famous, he went to an airport in Thailand at 12 o'clock at night, and when young people saw them, they began to chant Hare Krishna. Maybe this is like 45 years ago. So Prabhupada said, Krishna is so famous that even in Thailand, 12 o'clock at night, in Bangkok, and at that time we had no temple there, people, when they see us, we're chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna is so famous. But I'd say, if we say Mickey Mouse, you've heard of Mickey Mouse? Probably Mickey Mouse is still a little bit more famous than Krishna is. But if we say Mickey Mouse, there's no problem of feeling comfortable remembering a mouse. Say Donald Duck, immediately some duck comes in our vision. When we say Krishna, it's like, you know what? So that's called Maya. We're more familiar with ducks and mice than we are with God, the Supreme Person. And it doesn't bother us usually. That's another phase of Maya. So what? Now here it says the devotee is always remembering Krishna. Why? Because they're actually in Krishna consciousness. Because it's unimaginable how much happiness and pleasure and love one will experience when one is actually in Krishna consciousness. So one cannot forget Krishna even for a moment. There was one lady, devotee Mataji, she was going to a famous lecturer, I forget his name, very, very famous. This is some centuries ago, maybe a century ago or something. And during the whole lecture, she was chanting Hare Krishna. So the lecturer, I forget his name, became very disturbed. And he said, this is a big offense, you're not listening. I'm giving a lecture, and you keep on chanting. She said, I can't stop chanting. I'm impelled to do it all the time. So because he criticized her, he actually fell down. Because she was a great devotee. And he fell down and became... He set up his own sampradaya. That's where that sampradaya where they chanting some other names of Krishna. So when one actually gets to the stage of actual Krishna consciousness, then one can't stop chanting Hare Krishna. It was when Prabhupada was having an operation on his heart, and he was in the hospital, the doctor said, this old man can't stop chanting. So that's the perfection we're looking to. Now, we can't start chanting, that's our problem. We need a favorable atmosphere, we need the temple, whatever else. And then we have our bead bag and we have 60, so many rounds to chant. Then we can chant Hare Krishna, or we have a kirtan and it's nicely advertised and everyone's there and nice music when we chant. Otherwise, it's difficult to chant sometimes. Chant, chant, chant. Can't. But it's possible if we engage sincerely in sadhana bhakti and try to spread Krishna consciousness. Why spreading Krishna consciousness? It's because generally when we're just chanting, generally during the day we're not very much challenged in our lives. And therefore there's no we could say, determination, or there's no feeling of taking shelter, need to take shelter of Krishna. But when one is faced with a situation where one has to take shelter of Krishna in terms of one's service, then one actually increases one's desire to obtain Krishna. And that's the only thing that advances us, is that increase of desire. The activity itself, without that increase of desire, is just an external activity. But when we go on book distribution, even Harinam, then we're in another atmosphere where we're feeling ourselves to be, where we have to take shelter of Krishna, because there's no other way we're going to be able to do anything. Because there's no other way we can do anything, but we don't realize that, and therefore we kind of mechanically go along with what we're doing, thinking it's all kind of natural in this. But when we're faced with a circumstance where we have to rely upon Krishna, then our faith, our desire to obtain Krishna increases. And that's how we advance in Krishna consciousness. And when one comes to the platform, when one is actually in love with Krishna, when one meets Krishna, because Krishna is the source of all love and pleasure, when one is completely absorbed in loving pleasure in relation to Krishna unlimitedly, then one can't get enough of Krishna. Just like if we had a stomach which could digest anything, we'd probably sit there all day long and just eat prasadam, especially if it was nice prasadam. The only limitation is that we have, our stomach gets filled up, and then our neck, and then it comes out our ears, and we think it's time to quit. But if we could actually taste prasadam, and not just like in the spiritual world, and have unlimited capacity to enjoy it, we'd never stop. So devotional service, even in the spiritual world, is always getting unlimitedly better at every moment. And therefore everyone is completely addicted to Krishna consciousness. There's no question of not being a Krishna consciousness. And that's what we have to come to. We have to pray to Krishna, and we have to put ourselves in some position or try to do some service where we're actually increasing our desire to obtain Krishna. And if we can get some taste for that, then we'll feel, without that taste, in some way, then we feel ourselves lacking. There's something missing in our lives. So that's very good. There's something about Krishna consciousness that we can feel. Without that, I'm feeling something is missing. Well, then that would mean that it becomes our habit, we could say. And that will advance us further to character. And when it's in a pure character, then Krishna will reciprocate with one. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments?
Maharaj, what would be your thought or blessings for this year's December's marathon, so-called Srila Prabhupada's marathon?
Blessing, try to do something. Pray to Krishna for some inspiration, some way of doing it so it actually works. Find out what works from others. Don't be lazy. Think, well, you know, I have a good excuse this year. Krishna can't, no one can blame me for not doing very much. No, try to shoot the, as Prabhupada said, shoot the rhinoceros. If you go out hunting, trying to kill a rhinoceros, is even more powerful than an elephant. They're really ferocious. So if you go out to shoot a rhinoceros, you shoot one, it's glorious. But if you don't do it, you try real hard, still it's glorious. I have to try. But one of the things I discover is, at least in some parts of the world, is that they call up their friends and ask them to take books. Call up people they know, ask them to take books. At first, we're usually a little shy to do anything. It's like going on the street. You're not used to it. And we're shy to approach people. I don't want to bother them. I don't want to, you know, so many people are selling things on the street. I don't want to be seen as a street salesman, hustler. Absolutely. So we have to go beyond our comfort zone. For Krishna, become a hustler. And then Krishna will be pleased. And when Krishna is, we actually sell books. From my experience, however we can sell books, unless we're really cheating people, then Krishna doesn't like that, and he lets us know. But if we actually sell books somewhere or another, Krishna is very pleased, and we can feel it. We notice the difference in our consciousness. So rather than think, well, this year it's good because I'm not going to go out in the cold. I'll be nice and warm inside. Usually I'm in anxiety. How many books I distributed this year, I don't have to be in anxiety. I'm relieved. Whatever I do is glorious. Oh, we should try it. Try to use our intelligence.
What about how do you say this? The restrictions of hanging out with people. How to maybe... Well, any idea how to...
That is an obstacle. But maybe see, that is an obstacle. You have to see what there's some other way of distributing.
Throw them the book.
What's that?
Throw them the book.
Is there a restriction? I guess are people on the street?
Some of them.
There's a few. This store is going to be closed for Christmas this year?
Don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
No one knows.
No, when is the restriction supposed to end?
They extend, they decide every week.
Every week. They keep everyone in suspense.
Yeah.
Tuned in. Someone sneezes and they extend it.
Yes.
He sneezed, it's contagious. Everyone locked down. Don't get out of your bed this week. Because COVID is coming to town. You better not shout, you better not cry. COVID's coming to town. Anything else? All right, thank you very much. Grandaraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.